Good to be here with you. Oh, hello. So yeah, my name is Andrew. I've been here a few times. Have people all seen me before? Who's the first time you're listening to me speak? Good. Nice. It's always wonderful coming back. So for those who don't know, my name is Andrew. I have a beautiful wife called Claudia, who's in Brazil, and 3 children. And my mum here is also here today. And I think I remember that I'm a missionary in Brazil, in the northeast part of Brazil. And I think from either the first or second Christmas I spent out in Brazil, which is more than 20 years ago, it's this church that's been one of the main churches that's been partnering and blessing our ministry there. I remember the first Christmas or the second Christmas in Brazil, we had a big party for the street children, and who gave all the presents for Christmas was this church. And since then, very faithfully and generously, you guys have blessed me, my family, and the ministry that we do in Brazil. So it's always a privilege and a pleasure to come back, say thank you, and to share time together. It's a beautiful place. The presence of God, as you guys were singing, is wonderful. And I'm just going to share a little bit what God has put on my heart today. Because it's been a while I've been here. We do have some books at the back, but these aren't, well, they can be free. If you don't have £10, then take it for free. Surprise for Jesus is free. This book is about what God has been doing in Brazil for the last 20 years. Crazy stories of drug dealers setting people free from demons, being healed, and lives being changed. Title of the book is God Plus One. Because we always feel that God is looking over the earth, over the world, for a person whose heart is fully given, so he can come and strengthen him. And when God is plus one person, you're in the majority. So God plus one equals the majority. And if you're in the majority, then you can have victory, no matter what you're coming against. And this is just to encourage you that there's such a big God who wants not only to be with us, but to come inside us and bring a change to this world. He's powerful and he's amazing. And we're going to talk a little bit about him, our God, today. It's always difficult because there's so much to share, so many testimonies, so much God's doing, so much that I want to say to you guys. But I just pray and I just feel it's always good to go back to the simple, the simplicity of the gospel, and keeping the main thing the main thing. Sometimes we complicate it so much and we talk about so much stuff. But I just felt, let's go back, keep the main thing the main thing. So what is the main thing of the gospel? I think it's love. The pillars of Christianity is faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And Paul says, talks about all the gifts of the Spirit. Then after that, he says, and now I'm going to show you the most excellent way. So the most excellent way is when we walk in love. And when Jesus was an expert at this. He knows everything, but he's so good at simplifying it. So there's 613 laws in the Old Testament. How many of them can you name? Probably not too many. But Jesus says, like, I'm going to simplify it for you. And what did he say? All those laws he summarizes in two. What are the two? What's the first one? Yes, and the second one is love your neighbor. So we all remember them. They're easy to know, but they're difficult to live. So the first commandment, who loves God? Are we all following the first commandment? Because the first commandment isn't just to love God. What is it? To love God with all your heart. The first commandment isn't just about love, it's about the intensity that we need to love. So now we need, are we loving God with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength? Because that's the first commandment. So often we talk about so many other things and we're not even really living the very basic first commandment of loving him with the entirety of our heart. It doesn't even say 80%, 90%. It's like 100%, you're all in. He's the lover of your heart. He's the most important thing in your life. Because I've realized that we all love something. Isn't that true? And what you love is going to define how you live your life. So we use love so easily. Like we love ice cream, we love pizza. I love Tottenham Hotspur. You probably might hate them and you love Charlton Athletic, I don't know. But we all love something. And what you love will determine how you live your life. I've got some friends in Brazil where I live. We live right by the beach. So it's not too hard. The city we live is the 7th most violent city in the world. So every month, about 800 people get murdered. But the good side is what you live by a beautiful beach. Or there is a beautiful beach in Fortaleza. And I have friends that love surfing. And these friends love surfing. Because they love surfing, what do? They wake up at 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning and go surfing. Their love for the surf, to get the best waves, awakens them at 4 to 5 o'clock in the morning. We say we love Jesus. How many of you here wake up at 4:30, 5 o'clock to spend time with him? It's our love that determines what we do. 2 Timothy chapter 3, the first few verses, it says this. In the last days, and remember this Bible was written many years ago, 2,000 years ago, this part. In the last days, people will be lovers of self, lovers of pleasure, and lovers of money, and not lovers of God. If you look around, that's a pretty good description of the world. We love me, ourselves. We love the pleasures of life. We love money. And we're giving our life, running around, spending time, effort, energy to go after these things. And Jesus says, but we need to be lovers of God. And it's very simple. And you know what you love by how much you spend your time running after it. And I just want to quickly look at Psalm 84. We're going to quickly jump around some verses. But Psalm 84 gives us a really interesting insight into the workings of one of the greatest men in the Bible, which is David. So even Jesus, he was like proud to be on the family tree of David. Jesus was known as the son of David. He is from the line of David. And so David's quite an amazing, remarkable man. But when you look at someone, it's not so much what they do you need to study. It's like what motivates them to do what they do. What is the inner workings that leads them to do what they're doing? So Psalm 84 says this. This is David praying or singing or talking or writing, whatever he does. Psalm 84, it says this. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. So what is it that David loves? David's saying here, I love your presence, Lord Almighty. I love your dwelling place. Where you are, I love to be where you are. I love your presence. And then verse 2, it says, my soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh, they cry out for the living of God. Just this verse, if you just stop and meditate on it, what's he saying? He says, my soul yearns. We don't use that word much, do we? I think we sang it once in this, like a yearning. There's this yearning, and he even says, I faint for the presence. That is so deep. There's a yearning and a fainting in David where he wants God more than anything else. I watched the other day, I was watching TV, and there was a picture of black and white film of when the Beatles went to the USA, and all these girls are like fainting out of like, it's the Beatles. They were fainting. That's the intensity that David's saying. I'm yearning for him. I'm fainting for my love for God. I want to be in his courts. And it says, my heart and my flesh, they cry out. Do you feel the intensity of what he's saying? He's not saying, I just sing some songs in church on Sunday. He's saying, no, my flesh, the most inner, deepest part of my being, my heart, it's crying out. It's crying out. I need God. I need God. I can't do life without him. There's a yearning in him for more. And we need that, guys. We're so shallow. We want to do great things like David does, but do we have this yearning, this cry within us, like we need you, God, more than anything else? And that's what God is stirring and needs to stir in our lives. He's a man that loves the presence of God. And if you look at all the great men and women of God, their secret is that they love the secret place with Jesus. They love spending time with him. They have a yearning, a desire to be with him, a deep love, a fascination for God, a deep desperation for him. Do you have a fascination for Jesus? Are you fascinated by him? Do you have a deep desperation and love for him? Or are we more interested in everything else that's happening around in our lives? Psalm 63, again, David says, "You are my God, earnestly I seek you, I thirst for you." It says, "Your love is better than life." Psalm 27, "One thing I ask of the Lord," just one thing. "This is what I seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and gaze upon his beauty." Again, it's one thing, and it's one thing. This is Psalm 27, verse 4. If you read the first three verses, David's saying he's getting, there's an army encamped around him. They're just about to come and pummel him. And David could be like on his knees saying, like, "Jesus, save me, just help me, set me free." And he goes, "No, just one thing I want. The only thing I want is to gaze on his beauty. The only thing I need is him." And we need that cry to be awakened in our hearts. Because one of the problems I really do believe with us in Christianity today is that we've become accustomed to the beauty of God. We've become accustomed to it. And it's so easy to happen. Again, live in Fortaleza, we have beautiful beaches. I remember when I first arrived to Fortaleza, every second I had on the weekend, I went to the beach. Palm trees, the clear, warm, blue sea, the beautiful white beaches. But then after a month or two, you get accustomed to them. And we don't even go to the beach that much. Why? Because you're accustomed to it. And it's the same. We get accustomed to the beauty of God. And when you get accustomed to the beauty of God, it all becomes a bit dull. There's in a book by Robert Capaton, he says this: "We are in a war between dullness and astonishment. One of the greatest and most critical dangers facing Christians today is dullness. We have lost our astonishment. The good news is no longer good news, it's okay news. Christianity is no longer life-changing, it's life-enhancing. Jesus doesn't change people into wide-eyed radicals anymore. He changes them into nice people." Guys, we've got such a privilege, like we've been singing and declaring today, the price has been paid, we can enter in. It says in the Bible, we can go into our room and close the door, and we're with the creator of the world. That's amazing. I don't know who you most, if you could have like a dinner date with anyone in the whole world that you could choose, anyone, who would you choose? You could spend half an hour with this man or woman in a dinner date, just ask any question. Who would you choose? You'd like, this would be amazing. You'd focus, you're like, "I've got this half hour." But you know, every day we can have this time one-on-one with the creator of the universe. And what happens very often, probably doesn't happen in this church, but with my friends, often they go into their quiet time, and within 5 minutes, they're strolling on Instagram. They're thinking about the food they're going to have for lunch or the bills they've got to pay. We're so distracted. And we've lost that astonishment, that fascination, and the understanding of this privilege that we can come face to face with our Creator and we can know him and see him and be wrecked by his beauty and his love that he has for us. And we, first of all, we need to get back into that place, because a lot of my friends are more interested in what carpet or curtains they're going to buy from IKEA at the weekend. And if we're honest, so often we try and fit Jesus into our busy schedules. if he is the most important thing or most important person in our life, surely the most important thing should be in the center and we fit everything else around it. But so often, we don't have time for him because we're busy. It's probably the first thing that you put out of your day because we're busy, busy, busy. And God is just calling us back and say, hello, I love you guys, I'm here. I want to reveal myself. I want to open the eyes of your hearts so you see how beautiful I am. Because I really do believe if we stop and think, we probably are running after the things of the world more than we're running after God's heart. And it's easy to happen. There's a verse in the Bible that says this. It says, what good is it if you gain the whole world, but you lose your soul? And that verse is so well known. Basically, I believe what that verse is saying is the value of one soul. So it's saying, on this side of a scale, if you have the whole world, so you have all the pounds, the dollars, the euros, the yen, all the diamonds, all the gold, all the oil, like all the sports cars, you have the whole world on one side of the scale. And the other side, you have one life, one soul. What does the Bible say? Which is more important? What does it matter if you gain all this, but you lose one life, one soul? And we're so busy running, blah, 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 blah. And so often, we forget the basics of Christianity of like stopping for the person in front of us because they got so much worth, so much value. I remember the very first person in Brazil that I met with was a girl called Irisma. She had only just arrived on the streets 2 days before I met her. I met her after 2 days. She arrived on the square in the city center on the streets. Spent some time with her. The next week, I went back to the streets, saw her again. She was only 12 years old. Within that 1 week, she had already started selling her body on the streets. And I said, this can't happen. So we got her, not just me and the team, we got her, and we put her into a little government place for a couple of days, and then we managed to take her back to her house. Her house was a bit of a mess. Her mum was involved in lots of witchcraft and stuff, but we went back and visited her every 2 weeks. We did Bible study, we helped with some food, and we kept visiting her, and she stayed at home. And I remember one day we went to visit her, and we were doing like a time with her of the Bible, her and her mum, just talking, praying, and her little neighbor, another little girl, about 12 years old, skinny, 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 big eyes, very nervous, very shy. She walked by, and I said, come in, sit down. We're going to just read the Bible and pray. So this little girl came in. I asked her name, and I couldn't hear it. Like, she was so shy. She was, like, shaking. I said, hello, what's your name? She said, my name is Sosay. What's that, sorry? And I just started talking to her, but she wouldn't look in my eye. She was so embarrassed, so shy. But I carried on. We did a bit of reading. And at the end of the time we're reading, I said, okay, let's pray. We need to go. And just before I said, let's pray and go, and just before I started, this little quiet, quiet girl, she sat up and said, I want Jesus in my life. And I was like, whoa, good, let's pray. When she said that, the mum of Irisma, the girl that we'd taken off the streets, she stood up and started shouting. She goes, you don't want Jesus. You don't know who Jesus is. You're stupid. Of course you don't want Jesus. Don't listen to her. And this is her witchcraft coming up. And this little girl who wouldn't say peep to her mouse, she stood up and said, yes, I know, I do need Jesus. I said, okay, she needs Jesus. Sit down, be quiet. Let's pray for her. We prayed for her. And she gave her life to Jesus. We went away. Came back 2 weeks later. And I was getting into the house with Irisma, her little shack, and I said, go and call your neighbor so we can have time with her as well. And Irisma says, didn't you hear? I said, hear what? What happened? She goes, the day after you guys were here, she was walking on the sand dunes and someone came, raped her, and killed her. And she's no longer alive. This was in the very start of my time in Brazil. And I thought, if I only went to Brazil for that one girl. It's all worth it. Because what does it matter? If I used to be a physiotherapist. If I'm famous physio for Tottenham Hotspur here in England, if I gain the whole world, but if I win a soul for him. We need to be living for things that are eternal. For things that really, really, really do matter. And it's beautiful that when you know Jesus, when you're enamored with him, when you're fascinated with him, it permeates into all of your life. It's not just a Sunday morning thing. It's not just a Tuesday Zoom thing. It needs to permeate into all your life. Because we really don't know when our last moments here are on the earth. Colossians 3:23 says this, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart unto the Lord and not unto men. I just want that verse to settle into your heart and your mind for this week. Whatever you do. Doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't just say when you're doing Bible study, when you're worshiping, like whatever you do. If you're cleaning the toilet, do it with your whole heart. Unto God and not unto man. And what I've seen, it's these little things in our lives that we need to be living. Because sometimes it's easy, you guys sitting here, always a missionary from Brazil, like he saves drug dealers and prostitutes, and that's wonderful. But that's a different world. And we can disconnect ourselves. But it's the small things. It's our small daily choices and decisions that will determine your life. It's what you really love. I'm only there because I love him more than anything else. And he told me to go. And sometimes we think, well, like the little things you're doing at home, hidden, where no one sees it. You think, is it making a difference? And I want to tell you today, it is making a difference. Sometimes we think like, what difference does it make if I have a salad today instead of a pizza? If you do that one day, not much difference. But repeat that small decision, that small choice for the next few months. You'll see quite a bit of decision, but quite a bit of difference in 3 months. Or perhaps you think, well, what difference does it make if I just watch my Netflix series today and not read the Bible? For one day, not much difference. But if you start making those choices every day for the next few months, these little steps are going to have massive changes. And I really believe that we need to do the small things with great love. And when you do the small things with great love, lives are changed. And the last people that we saw God touching just recently, it's the small things. I love listening to their testimonies. One lady was 30 years in drugs. And when she came out of drugs, she was saying, like, now for the first time, I can sit with my grandchild and watch TV. It's like, so simple. But she never did that because she was always in a drug den, day and night, day and night, day and night. I can go to the beach, which the beach is only like over a road from the slum. But for years and years and years, she never went to the beach. I can go to the beach with my family now. One of the drug dealers, one of the last ones that came to Jesus, he was, like his dad was killed in drugs. He went to prison. He had a messed up life. And he was telling his testimony. He said, I used to like, if people didn't pay for the drugs, I used to beat them up. I used to kill them. I used to rob cars. He said all the stuff he did. And he said, I used to sleep at night and I didn't care. But then when I came to know Jesus, he started changing my heart. He started changing my life. And he was telling this to another drug dealer that he was talking to. And I was just like watching. And he was saying this testimony, I used to do all these things and I didn't really care. But when Jesus came into my life, the little things changed. And he talked about one day at home, he hadn't had a broom, a brush. His broom was like pretty, without any bristles, old, rubbish. And he needed a new broom. And so he was walking along. And one of his, on a road nearby, another house, there's a nice new broom outside this person's house. And say, oh, a new broom, that's what I need, I'm going to take it. So he went and took the broom, and he brought it back to his house. And as he was going in his house, Jesus said to him, is that your broom? It's not, go and take it back. And so he walked all the way back and put the broom back. And you think, what's the difference? But it's a huge difference. Because before this man was beating up people, killing them, stealing cars, and he didn't care. And now he can't even steal a little broom to take home. And it's the little things that you need to see Jesus change your life. So I just want to encourage you today, like, let's be fascinated with his beauty. He's given so much for us to live. And let's do the small things with all our heart as we're doing it to him and not to man. And let's do the small things with great love. And if each one of us do that, we can change the surroundings. Christianity's got to be relevant outside these four walls. And it can't just be here. If you're only singing songs and reading your Bible here, there's something wrong. It's got to be alone. It's got to be in your room. Turn off your phone. Spend time with him. And he'll start to attract you back to the beautifulness of who he is. Let's pray. Father God, we love you so much. I just invite you, Holy Spirit, to come. I just hear the words, wake up, sleeping beauty. Wake up. Wake up, sleeping beauty. And I pray, Father God, you just come and awaken us. Just breathe upon us. Open the eyes of our hearts. Open the eyes of our hearts so we may see you. Stir within us a deep hunger, a deep thirst for you like nothing else, Jesus. Rekindle that fire. Renew our fascination. May we see how beautiful you are. I just pray you just draw us and draw us and draw us back in to that quiet place, Jesus. We want to be lovers of God, not lovers of self, lovers of pleasure, lovers of money, but lovers of you. We want to seek first your kingdom, and all these things will come, but we want you and only you, Jesus. Just one thing we ask. This is what we seek. May we dwell with you, may we spend time with you. And I pray, Holy Spirit, as people this week spend time with you, I just pray you breathe upon your word and awaken it in our hearts. We thank you so much, Jesus, for this beautiful church. And I pray you just breathe upon them, Jesus, with your love and your presence and your power. And use them to do small things with great love, to touch their neighbors' hearts, to touch their families' hearts, to touch their streets, so your name may be praised and your name may be glorified and your beauty will be known here in London, Jesus. We love you, we praise you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.